And this psalm today is written probably by David. But the psalms really are so helpful and meaningful because they have that humanity in them. And that's why one of the reasons why we love them so much. I also appreciated the songs that were chosen today and some of the words. A lot of the songs, you know, have phrases from the psalms. They really are based on the psalms much more than we realize sometimes. And I appreciate also when people give thanks out loud, because when you give testimony or thanks out loud, it's a sign that God's at work. It's a sign that God's alive, and that's all relevant to some of what I want to share this morning. I want to speak about Psalm 103. Before I read it, I've entitled this God's Benefit System. There is a crisis in the country about benefits. Some of you have maybe suffered as a result of that or benefited as a result of that. But one of the things that keeps coming to my attention is somebody who deserves benefits isn't getting them. And some rascal who doesn't deserve them has worked the system and he's getting them. And there's a real crisis in our benefit system. I have to say I'm grateful for this country because generally speaking we do look after our poor and we do look after our elderly and we do look after people, needy people. Yes. And I think that is something to be really grateful for. And I just want to say a big thank you also to those who work helping people, whether it's social work, nursing. I think we have at least one or two nurses here, and people who work with the elderly. We have a doctor or two as well. No, we really are grateful to God for all the good that is done. But you know something? God has a benefit system that it's good to know what his benefits are, what he's given to us in Christ and through the death and the resurrection of Christ. So let's read Psalm 103, which is my latest favorite. All right. Let's stand to your feet as I read this, just as a kind of an acknowledgement that this is the Word of God. And as I read this, I'll maybe accentuate a few of the phrases which I'm particularly going to come back to. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Yes. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Yes. There's the word. Mm. There's the title. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor to repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. But the wind passes over it and it is gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to their children's children. And to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Please be seated. God's benefits. You know, we talk. Well spotted. Absolutely. You know, we have one of the things that we've been emphasizing through the Psalms is just the challenge of being thankful and always having that positive, optimistic, hopeful perspective on life and being grateful. And there's a story about a group of businessmen, and this guy came in to do a seminar with these businessmen, and he held up a huge white board. And it was a beautifully bright, gleaming whiteboard, and he put a little dot, a little black dot in the middle of it. "What do you see?" he said. And every single businessman said, "I see a black dot." They didn't see the white, which was the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. But brothers and sisters, forget not his benefits. Yes, there's a few black dots, but I want to tell you something. Most of it is white.
Yeah.
In eternity, it's white. Behind the scenes, it is white. In the realm of the kingdom of God, it is white. And if we can keep that gratitude and perspective, it'll do us a lot of good in terms of our physical health, our mental health, and our spiritual health. It'll help us be more kind to one another. The problem is we focus on the black dot. It could be a trial, it could be a tribulation, it could be something from the past. It could be huge in human terms, but in terms of God's eternal perspective, all things are working together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I beg you, don't forget his benefits. There's a story of a little girl of 7, and it's her birthday party, and we've all been there, right? And she's got all her little friends there with their parents, and they're all bringing their lovely little presents. And in her mind, there's one particular present she wants. And it's probably, being 7, it's probably a really silly thing, but that's what she wants more than anything else. And she opens one present and then throws it to the side. Opens another present and throws it to the side. Opens another present and throws it to the side. All those little friends of hers and their parents are watching. And she didn't get the little thing that she wanted. I imagine her parents had a little word with her later and said, "You know, you missed the enjoyment of all those gifts because you were so focused on that one silly little thing that you thought was so important." Brothers and sisters, let's keep perspective. The password is thanksgiving. I really believe that if we can see the blessings and the glory of all his benefits, as Augustine said, we would be an alleluia from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. And that's why ultimately the Psalms end in praise, high praise, and singing and thanksgiving. And yes, throughout the Psalms, you'll see tragedy, you'll see discouragement, but it all ends with Psalm 150. "Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. He makes me breathless." What a perspective. I'm tired of begging people to enter into praise and worship. I just say, Lord, give us revelation that we would not forget or miss your benefits. And we're going to look really quickly at 4, 5 of God's benefits in a few minutes' time. So stay with me. I'm still on the introduction. The first thing that I want to point out is the psalmist, first of all, talks to himself. The first sign of sanity is talking the right kind of talk to yourself. Sometimes I have to get the hold of myself and say, "Stephen, catch yourself on. See the whiteboard. Enjoy all the presents. Stephen, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. My whole being, speak to your whole being." I remember I had an experience a few years ago when I got the opportunity, along with Heather, to visit one of the greatest cities in the world. No, it wasn't Korean, but it was Hong Kong. And here was the problem. I was so looking forward to going to Hong Kong. More skyscrapers than any other city in the world. My other daughter was there, Miriam. I was going to meet all her friends and see her life there. And we traveled all this distance. And something happened to me in that trip. I had the most terrible jet lag. Not only did I have the most terrible jet lag, I developed a viral infection on the plane. And I spent 2 weeks in this brilliant city, having spent all that money, detached and almost asleep and just unable to fully engage and fully enjoy it. And as gradually I recovered towards the end of the trip, and I did enter in more fully. Here's my point. A lot of times in life, we're not fully present. We're not fully engaged. We listen to music, but we don't fully listen to it. We see God's beautiful creation, but we don't fully look. People are blessing us, but we don't fully engage with it, enjoy it, and appreciate it. We have time with special people, but we're not fully committed to being 100% focused. And spiritually speaking, I think sometimes it's almost like we've got spiritual jet lag and spiritual amnesia, and we're not switched on to the reality of God and His presence and His beauty and His majesty and His gifts and His blessings and His benefits. And I sometimes think we need to speak to ourselves and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Be fully present and fully engaged. If you're going to sing, sing with all your heart. If you're going to be thankful with all your being. If you're going to wash the dishes to the glory of God. If you're going to spend quality time with someone, then spend quality time. Be 100% whole self active. And if we're going to preach the gospel, whatever we're going to do, let's do it 110%. And if necessary, speak to yourself. That's what David did. I wonder why he did that. I think he was tempted to forget God's benefits. I think there were times he was afraid, times he was discouraged, times he didn't feel God's presence. And then he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And he finishes the psalm with the same thing. "Bless the Lord, all his works. Bless the Lord, O my soul." So here are five benefits from God's benefit system. I'll go through it real quick. Maybe spend more time on one or two of them rather than all of them. The first benefit is this: He forgives all your iniquities. If you sinned, if you've got iniquity, if you've got faults, hidden faults, done terrible things in the past, here's one of the benefits of God, sealed by the cross and by the death of Christ: all your sins are forgiven. That is absolutely staggering. Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins are atoned for. The debt is paid. I am guilt-free. I have a clear conscience. There is now and there can never be any condemnation upon those who are in Christ Jesus. I can take you to people who would give their right arm to have a clean conscience. They'd give both arms to have a clean conscience. Here's one of the benefits that God gives to people who believe in Jesus: wipes the slates clean. The debt is paid. He forgives all your sins. Look at verse 10. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Look at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, He removes our transgressions from us. That is utterly wonderful. And I want to tell you something from my own personal history and life. It's possible to grow up in a Christian home. It's possible to go to a godly church that really believes the Bible. But it's possible to spend most of your conscious Christian life feeling guilty and ashamed and condemned. And I tell you, it affects your relationship with people. It affects your relationship with God. In the name of Jesus Christ, because of the cross, there is a benefit, and I'm claiming that benefit. I'm filling that form in. I'm ticking all the boxes. I need this. I want this. I receive this. Isn't that fantastic? And the enemy's a dirty fighter, and he tries to accuse us and condemn us. And we need to put the armor on. He forgives all our sins. The second benefit, it says, He heals all our diseases. I really appreciate the health that I enjoy. Even if I'm a little bit sick, I really appreciate the fact that I can walk, the fact that I can see, the fact that I can hear. I give God credit and glory for health. I give God credit and glory for all the times I've experienced healing and recovery. Sometimes that healing comes just because the body has this inbuilt way of recovering. Sometimes that healing comes because I took 2 paracetamol and some fluids. Sometimes that healing comes when someone prays with me or prays for me. Sometimes that healing comes when I call for the elders to pray for me. But I am fully persuaded that one of the benefits that God gives is healing. And I want to just say that healing is for today. There's mystery in the area of sickness and disease. But one of the benefits of the manifestations of the kingdom of God is recovery and is healing. Physical healing, emotional healing, and spiritual healing. And you know, one of our pastoral eldership duties is, I believe we'll be accountable to God, is that we make sure we teach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And you know, there is something to do when you're sick that's biblical. If you're sick and suffering, pray, James 5 says. It's not wrong to go to the doctor. It's not wrong to take some paracetamol. It's not wrong to get advice. In fact, I think all good gifts come from the Father. But most important of all, if you're sick and you're suffering, this is not rocket science. Pray for help. Pray to God. If necessary, you're not healed, then you ask someone to pray with you. Yes, you can still go to the doctor. Maybe that's the wisdom of God in the situation. Yes, you can still take some ibuprofen, unless you have a stomach ulcer. But let someone to pray for you. That takes humility. When you say, I'm sick, I'm struggling, please pray for me. Could be your wife, could be a husband, could be a friend, could be your house group. It could be through a WhatsApp group. Don't be afraid to ask people to pray for you. Confess your faults to one another, because sometimes a key to healing is bringing something into the light. Confess your weaknesses to a trusted friend. Confess your faults, and sometimes to even confess our sins can release health and can release healing to us. I find it in my own life. And if you're still not healed, the scripture says, call for the elders to come and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. If you've sinned, you will be forgiven. The onus is on the sick person to want to be well enough that they're willing to pray or ask someone to pray for them. I don't want to give Tommy Ken and I more work than we have, but it is a good thing to call for the elders to anoint you with oil and to pray for you. We need to really take seriously the fact that the Bible is a very practical book as well as being a spiritual book. And I also want to say to people, make sure there's people in your life that you are coming into contact with who are sick and needy and oppressed. Because Jesus' ministry can be summarized in this. He went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. It's one of God's benefits. Yes, I don't understand why everyone isn't healed, why some people are healed partly, some people are healed temporarily, some people are healed of something they didn't need healed from in their minds, but there is something significant about declaring war on these kind of things. That's why, but incidentally, we've decided to run some training healing seminars in March, and you'll maybe hear some more about that, and so on. But you know, all of us would agree that if God gives a command, it's a big deal not to obey it. Would you agree with that? You know, God says, love God with your whole being. Love one another. Don't get into the habit of not meeting together. If God gives a command, it's a big deal not to obey it. Matthew 10, verse 8 says this, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Lord, that's a hard command. But all his commands are significant. And someone says, oh, that applied to the 12 disciples at the time of Israel when Jesus first came. And you're absolutely right. Except in Matthew 28, these same disciples were told, now go, not just to the lost sheep of Israel, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every ethnic group. Not just Israel, but the people in Seymour Hill, the people in Twinbrook, the people in Belfast, Myanmar, Mozambique. And part of God's benefit system, part of God's command, is heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. I have seen enough of this to convince me that God does heal and set people free today. I've experienced enough of my personal life to say God does this. I have not seen enough of it or experienced enough of it that I don't have questions, that I don't remain unteachable. Lord, there must be so much more to enter into in this area. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we need stories and we need testimonies of God answering prayer and God healing people. And we need thanksgiving where God has worked in someone's life, because it builds faith and it builds expectancy. So if you have a story, if God heals you partially, completely, temporarily, answers a prayer, it is so good for morale, it is so good for momentum to tell those stories, to share those testimonies. And so, as an example, I'm going to tell you one story, one testimony from my own life. Forgive me if this is a little selfish to do this, but one of the reasons I believe God heals the sick today is I was healed of a knee problem. Around about 7-8 years ago, Heather will tell you, my knee went into some kind of major lockdown. So what did I do? I took some paracetamol, ibuprofen, and prayed. Didn't get better. Went to a physiotherapist who charged £1 a minute, gave me several sessions, and told me it was more serious than she thought. You should see a specialist. I went to a knee specialist, one of the top knee specialists in the country. I have to admit, I went privately, paid a lot of money. He opened my knee, had a look inside, fixed a couple of things, and then came to my bedside, sat down beside me 7 years ago, and he said, this is worse than I thought. This is going to get worse. You're going to start to get pain at night. It'll waken you at night. And gradually you'll need a partial knee replacement and probably in time surgery. I apologize. That will be £3,000, please. Not quite yet. I was devastated. Because I love to play sport. And I love to play sport for all kinds of reasons. It's one of the ways I network with people. It's one of the ways I de-stress. And I just love sport. I was depressed. I was desperate. But I really wanted to be healed. I really wanted to be healed. And that's a key. I prayed again. I got people to pray for me. I got the elders to pray for me. 6 weeks later, I went back to the surgeon, the knee expert, and he said, oh, that's much better. You can play football. I've been playing football 3-4 times a week for 7 years at the age of 57. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And you know that story about chariots of fire? When this runner says, I can feel the pleasure of God when I run. Every time I score a goal, I feel the pleasure of God. Every time I nutmeg somebody younger than me, I can hear the angels singing. Because they know my story. They know my testimony. And you see, when I meet people with knee problems and hip problems, and ankle problems, I can tell you the truth. God can heal that. I'll be honest with you. I'm only 90% healed. Because every so often, I feel this ache, especially when I'm walking up curbs. And I say, Lord, why do you not heal me 100%? Because there's mystery in these things. There's mystery in this area. But I'll tell you another reason. I think of Jacob, who walked with a limp all his life. And this limp reminded him of the time he wrestled with God. It reminded him, I need him every hour. I need him every day. I need him every second. I cannot walk without my maker and creator. And you see, sometimes if we're not completely healed in our soul or completely healed physically, let those things remind us of the God who's with us and who can give us grace and give us strength to step out of the boat if necessary, to take a risk if necessary. And so I tell that story. I tell one other story, and that is someone recently. We were in the Shankill a few weeks ago, and the folk down there said, when you come, can you bring some people with some stories about drugs? Because there is an epidemic of drugs here. Young people are taking their lives. People are dying of accidental overdoses. And at that meeting, I got a phone call from somebody I used to visit in prison, whose partner, through drugs and alcohol, had a terrible reaction, had collapsed, required cardiac massage, ambulance, high intensive care unit. And I thought to myself, what a hypocrite to tell these people that there is a power and a benefit in God to set people free from drugs and what it can do to kill people. And you get, at the very moment you get that kind of call, and I said to Charlene and Morag, let's go to the hospital and see if we can get in to the high dependency unit. It's easier to get into Saudi Arabia than to get into an intensive care unit. Trust me. The door just literally opened. A few minutes, we laid hands on this young woman and she opened her eyes. Apparently, she'll tell you this herself, it was the first time she opened her eyes since she went unconscious. The next day, I got a message from her, somehow or other on Facebook. Thank you for coming. Thank you for praying. She's at home. She's 90%. Why not 100%? Why not 100%? I don't understand the mystery of these things. But I'm praising God for 90% recovery of that young woman who could have died. And so we need, if there are stories and there are testimonies, please don't exaggerate. That's a form of lying. I'm tired of exaggeration in this area. Some of the press, you know, the Christian press, it's exaggerated. And it's a form of lying. We don't need it. But I'm also tired of experiencing things and we downplay it and we devalue it. It's good to tell testimonies. It's good to give thanks. So that's healing. Number three, have I time to do the other? Three, tell me about it. Am I okay for time?
It's
25. Real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not bad yet, is it?
It's in your hand.
5 minutes. My wife says I've got 5 minutes.
3 points.
Well, the good news is this could become a two-part talk, you see. God's forgives all our sins, heals all our diseases. Wow, look at that one, number three. Don't have time to go into detail. Redeems your life from the pit, from the grave, from Sheol, from death. He redeems your life from death. David probably had in mind a literal life and death situation, and he was delivered and protected out of death. In a fuller New Testament sense, we've been redeemed from death, from the grave, from Sheol, from eternal judgment and a lost eternity. What a benefit to lay hold of. He crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. He satisfies us with good. So that, and here's the next benefit, your youth is renewed like the eagles. Brothers and sisters, you're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too fat. You're not too thin. That God can't use you and renew you and refresh you. The eagle is a beautiful picture. And I was researching this. What is it about the eagle and youth and renewal? And there's a couple of things about the eagle you need to know. And there's a picture of the eagle is an incredible bird. It flies so high. It's almost like it's reaching to the sun. And believe me, the physicists will tell us, you get too close to the sun and it'll blind you, it will destroy you. This eagle goes high and high and high and then whoosh. But it comes up again. It comes up again. It's a picture of resurrection, life, overcoming. God, one of his benefits, there is a spirit, there is a power, there is a promise, there is a spiritual blessing in Christ that he can renew your life like an eagle, which is a picture of resurrection. And the other thing about the eagle, apparently after it mates, all its feathers begin to molt and fall away. It's spent. But if you watch that bird, the feathers start to grow again. Resurrection, new life, new plumage, new beauty. And before you know it, it's flying again, flying high. And I've experienced this. There's times I've got no energy, no strength. I can't go on a minute longer. I need something greater and more powerful than myself. And you press into God, and you press into his promises, and you take his word as if your life depends upon it, and he renews your youth like the eagles. And I'll tell you something I'm really grateful for. I hope I don't embarrass anyone. I'm really grateful for people who are older than me in this church. And they're still a model and an example of prayer, of faithfulness, of life, of passion, of desire. It's no small thing. I praise God for the longevity of some of the people in this church. Remember Eleanor at the age of 90? God is faithful. One of my best friends, Leo Nolan, he's still driving up and down to Dublin. And what age is Leo? 85 years old. I don't take that for granted. The blessing of longevity. The blessing of a long life, still active. Leo, Eagle Nolan. Ken, Eagle Brown. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's one of his benefits. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had time to tell you about the other 74. Enough said. Back to you. Sorry.